Blog Talk Radio.
I have to use more of the word frustrate.
is the way that the world has interpreted this atonement, the atoning act of Messiah, and has used it to, again, to just do anything that they want and then say, I'm sorry, when the scriptures clearly show that that is not what was intended. We were not ever intended to just stay in sin and say we're up under grace. Matter of fact, scriptures actually forbid it. So when people are doing this and reading it for themselves, or people are teaching that this is okay, you know, everybody's human, you're going to sin, you're going to fail, you're going to fall short, just confess Messiah and you'll be forgiven. That doesn't work for me in the scripture. Okay, it would be nice, it would be good, because then we don't have to do anything. We just keep doing what we're doing and saying, you know, I'm under the blood, and it'll be okay. But that is not what is in the scriptures. And when I look at different philosophies and different trains of thought, I want to make sure that, you know, most of the time, am I missing something here? Am I being too harsh, too strict in your word? Am I undercutting grace? Because the world, everybody else in the world seems to think that this grace extends to all our sins, period, past, present, and future. And so I did a little bit of inquiring on, you know, what were the trends of thought? What did people think that was actually done on the Day of Atonement for Israel? Because as I said, this was the working that the Most High was doing, what he was teaching Israel, and what they were mimicking, the atoning process from the temple, from the heavenly, mimicking it here on earth. Did the Hebrew Israelite, whom intentionally sinned, was the sin covered on the Day of Atonement? Of the way that the scripture is written, for the sins of all Israel, when the Most High, well, I'll get into this in a minute, but just remember that the sins of all Israel, we're going to read this sort of the nomenclature of this the scripture, and then we're going to look at what the Most High actually says concerning it. Because sometimes all does not mean all. All means a subset of people. All those people. So if I say, I guess I'll think of an example while we pray in, been going through my mind and through my spirit for a while, and I know what the scriptures are saying, I know what the Most High is telling me, but how do I relate this to the people and have them understand that you just can't continue in sin willfully? It doesn't work. No matter how much grace you're given, no matter how much mercy you're given, you cannot do it. So let us do this. I want to welcome everybody to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry on this morning. I am Brother Miles, and we are getting into the atonement. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, whether you're in North America or South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the Master's name, the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. I want to have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just lift you up and we glorify you and we magnify your name. We adore thee, O Yah Elohim. We adore thee and we extol thee and we magnify thee, Father. For you are the only one worthy of glory, honor, and praise. To you belong glory and to you belong majesty. Hallelujah. And we bow down to you on this morning, Father, to give you all those, all our reverence. For you are our Elohim. And another we will not bow down to nor serve. And we just thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. All right. Our holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep the statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our sins and repent from our wicked ways, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on today, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Our reading from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I will personalize this as I read it. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servants and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. And of the whole matter, fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 13, of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim. But turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yah Elohim of thy fathers give thee to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20 verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20 verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. If you love, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Thank you. this.
Matthew 26, and we're going to read Matthew 26 and Matthew 27. 7 to get the foundation for what we're going to be talking about on today. Because Messiah being our atonement, we want to look at his crucifixion and the events leading up to that and look at the players in this. And then we want to talk about how this works, okay, in verse 1. And it came to pass, when Yeshua had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests. Now remember, the chief priest is the high priest, okay? And the high priest on the Day of Atonement has to offer up the sacrifice, okay? So we're going to have the Passover, and inside the Passover, we're also going to have the atonement, okay, for the world. Two events happening at one time, so we need to watch this. Together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and when consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. So we want to take him secretly. We want to take him not, you know, in a big uproar and people, you know, attract all kind of attention. We want to do this subtly like Satan does. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Yeshua was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head. And he sat as he sat to eat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Now, it's not just one disciple saying it. It's his disciples. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Yeshua understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? Why are you troubling her? For she has done, she has wrought a good work upon me. She has done a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Now, think about that. His disciples are fussing because this woman is pouring this ointment on him, saying that it's a waste, and it could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. Messiah says, hey, you got the poor with you always, but me, you're not going to always have. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Now, he told them in 2 days. This, you know, this troubles me a lot of times with his disciples. He told them in 2 days, you know, I got to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to kill me on the Passover. Okay? He's eating, having a meal, and Mary, I think her name is Mary, the state of woman with the alabaster box, comes in and puts this ointment on him. Now, this ointment is one of the things that they would put on a dead body to knock down the smell of death. They would prepare the body by putting this ointment on it. They were going to have time to prepare his body, and the Most High has this woman to come ahead of time to put this ointment on him, okay? So he says, he's doing it for my death. Let's continue. He did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this woman has done be told for a memorial for her, because she did this work for me. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went into the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. They did a contract. That's a covenant. For 30 pieces of silver, you deliver him to us. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened is the Passover. The disciples came to Yeshua saying unto him, where wilt thou we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? He said, go in unto the city of such a man, and say unto him, the master says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Yeshua had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, because the Passover is celebrated in the evening, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Master, is it me? Is it I? And he answered and said, he that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Son of man goes as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. I'm going to go and do this because this is what I was called to do. Still, woe unto that man that betrays me. It had been better for that man if he had not been born. So Judas was born to do this. And Messiah was born to do what he had to do. And the betrayal of him had to be done. And still Messiah said it was better that he had never been born. That Judas had never been born. Okay. Prayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said, you said it. And as they were eating, Yeshua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now when he told the masses this, there were about 120 disciples following him, all but the 12 left. When he told them, you're going to have to eat my body. They left. What? This man crazy. We're going to have to eat his body? Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, the day that he is shed, his blood is shed, the new covenant comes into effect. Okay? Now, brothers want to say, because, you know, everybody don't know y'all, we're not in the new covenant. I'm like, brother, you know, then you can't really have atonement. This is all about. And it is starts with his death. So he tells us, this is the blood of the New Testament or the New Covenant for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I'm not going to have a drink with you anymore until that day. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Yeshua unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now he's giving them the schedule of events. I'm going to be killed on Passover. When I'm killed, y'all going to be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And that's where I'm going to meet you at, in Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. The most guilty one spoke up. And verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice or three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now the Peter's the one speaking up, and he told Peter, you're going to be the one that's going to deny me three times. The rest of them spoke up saying, hey, we will never deny you, and we will die with you. They all scattered. Then cometh Yeshua with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder, over there. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. I know I'm about to die. I know what is about to happen to me. Everything they're going to do, I already know. I already know they're going to put the crown of thorns on my head and beat it in with a rod. I already know that they're going to hit me in the face and spit on me and chastise me. They're going to humiliate me. They're going to rip me open. I'm about to suffer much. They're not just going to kill me quickly. It'd be different if they just put him up on a stake and said, here, shot him through with an arrow. That would have been too quick for who? The Most High. Because the Most High wanted to take out his wrath on Messiah. For us, this is what I want to do to all of you. So I'm going to do it to one. Okay? So he knows what he is about to go through. And he's actually questioning, do I really want to do this? And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, this death that is about to come on me, pass from me. That's the cup. All he's about to go through, that is the cup. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he come into the disciples and find them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I'm telling you guys, I'm about to die. I'm about to die a horrible death. And you can't even stay awake 1 hour and pray with me? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know you don't want to run, but you're going to run because you can't even stay up 1 hour and pray with me. So when they come for me to take me, you might be willing to stand out with me, but you ain't. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. If you can't do this another way, then your will be done. Why do I have to die for this hard-headed knucklehead man that always resists you? Yet not my will, your will be done. And it came, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Now maybe that meal they had was working on them. And they got the itis. And they couldn't stay awake. But he's telling them, he ate the meal with them, I'm about to die. I've been telling you guys this. And y'all going to run. We're not going to run. We're going to die with you. And when he's praying, they can't stay up and pray with him. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word, that I ain't got to go up on this cross. But if it has to happen, your will be done. I will be faithful. Then cometh he to his disciples and saying unto them, sleep on now. Y'all go ahead and stay asleep and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So Judas Iscariot has already done what he's going to do. And now the events are set in motion for Messiah to be crucified. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me. Here he comes. And while he had spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him a great multitude with sword and staff. Now, they're coming to take him by force. And they're trying to make sure that if anybody resists, they're going to kill him. just might think that, hey, they're going to take Messiah into custody. But just like we know the police today, if they got a mindset that they want to kill you, especially if you are black, they will come, and you give them any excuse, they're shooting you down. Pull out your cell phone. Boom, 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 boom. We thought it was a gun. This is what is about to happen here. If they resist the Messiah, he knows that the elders, the chief priests and the elders have already gotten together and say, we want to kill him subtly. We, you know, so here's the middle of the night. Here's in the nighttime. The people have eaten their Passover meal. They're at home. No, there's no big crowds around. He gives you one reason, kill him. Anybody resist, kill him. Now, Peter jumps back. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, a great multitude with swords and staff, from the chief priest and the elders of the people. Chief priest and the elders. Always remember that. Those are the two groups that the Most High put in place to rule the people and to be his go-between between him and man. The priest never enforced the law. The elders did. Okay? Because if it was the chief priest, then there would be a bunch of priests coming to take Messiah. But the chief priest has to offer him up. Okay? Now, he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he. Hold him fast. Hold him tight. Get him. He's the one. So I'm going to go up and kiss him. You know that is the Messiah. And you grab him and take him, arrest him. And forthwith he came to Yeshua and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Said unto him, Friend, why are you come? Then came they and laid hands on Yeshua and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Yeshua stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then said Yeshua unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. So Peter of the high priest's ear, and Jesus knows what's about to happen. Yeshua knows what's about to happen. You're about to get everybody here killed. Put your sword up, and he heals the servant's ear. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? If I wanted to fight this, there'll be 12 legions of angels here. I only need one angel. So you send 12 legions. That's 12,000 angels. And you only need one. When the Most High sent the angel before Israel, or when David or any of the kings messed up and the Most High sent the angel, killing 30 and 40,000 people in a matter of hours or days, as the Most High wanted them killed, 12,000, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to tear up everything. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? That thus it must be. If I call for those angels and they come, the scriptures will not be fulfilled. Prophecy will not be fulfilled. Same hour said Yeshua to the multitude. Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staffs for to take me? Now he's talking to the group of men that came. I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and ran. Oh no, we will die with you. We will never forsake you. We will die right along with you. All of them ran. And they that had laid hold on Yeshua led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. scribes are the teachers. Okay? But Peter followed afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Yeshua, put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of Elohim and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? You ain't going to say nothing? What is it which these witnesses against you? But Yeshua held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure you by the living Elohim that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, son of Elohim. They knew who Messiah was supposed to be. They know Elohim has no son. That's why they say, when he answered this, he's going to say, you being a man, Yeshua says to him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, spoken blasphemy. Because the only one supposed to come in the clouds is the Most High. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think you? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then they did spit in his face and buffeted him, hit him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that... Now Peter sat without or outside in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth of Galilee, or Yeshua of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. I will never deny you. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were with it, that were there, this fellow was also with Yeshua of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I swear I don't know him. Wow. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrays thee. Speak like a normal Jew. You speak like a Galilean. Then began he to curse and to swear. I ain't going to curse and swear, but you can just imagine in your mind what he was saying. I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. So he denies him the first time. The second time he takes an oath. I don't know him. I swear I don't know him. The third time he gets angry, starts cussing and swearing. What? And Peter remembered the word of Yeshua, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Matthew 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Yeshua to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now they're saying it's illegal for them to put somebody to death. But the law calls for them to put people to death all the time. But they're letting the Romans do the work. Okay? Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Dude, you betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver because it was written that he had to do it. And now he's repented. And Messiah said, it is better that you had never been born. Saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? We don't care about that. We want them killing. You helped us do it. See thou to that. You see to it yourself. You shed innocent blood, then you're supposed to die. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest said, it is not lawful to put them in the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as Yah appointed me. And Yeshua stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Yeshua said unto him, you say. And when he was in the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against you? And he answered him to never, a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. These people accuse you of all kind of stuff, and you're not going to say nothing? Wow. You know what they're asking me to do is to put you to death, and you're not going to defend yourself? Now, at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner. So we got Messiah, okay? We got Messiah with Pontius Pilate, okay? Now, we know that for the Day of Atonement, you need two goats for this ceremony, okay? And you need the high priest for this ceremony, whom they would. So Caiaphas is saying, hey, it's my custom to release to you somebody. Who do you want? Verse 15 again. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Then when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you that I release unto you? Barabbas or Yeshua, which is called Christ? Which one do you want? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Now the people were supposed to love Messiah. He had fed them. He had healed them. He had brought the word to them. But the people turned against him. That the high priest and the elders are bringing Messiah to him out of envy. They want to kill him out of envy. He's trying to turn the choice over to the people. Take it out of the hand of the high priest and the elders. Verse 18 again. For he knew for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man? She knew, hey, this man ain't done nothing. What they're accusing him of is not true. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the people. See, they knew what Caiaphas was doing. He's trying to turn Messiah over to the people because he was popular with the people. And the high priest and the elders, the chief priests and the elders, persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Messiah, Yeshua. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the two will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. We have Messiah and we have Barabbas now. Okay, and I want you to pay close attention here. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Yeshua, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. Offer him up. So, this is the lamb or the goat that the lot fell on for Yah. Remember, on the Day of Atonement, two goats were presented, and the one that fell that was for Yah was crucified. The other one became the scapegoat. Okay, and let's keep reading. Let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail, nothing. I want to let this man go. My wife is even telling me, let this man go. The people will not let him let this man go. And the people are not letting him go because the chief priests and the elders are hyping them up. Barabbas is a murderer. He's supposed to be put to death. When Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, a riot, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this person. See you to it. So Pilate, you guys take him and kill him. You want him dead, you take him and you kill him. You got two goats. The drawing lot. I wash my hands of this. Then answered all the people and said, the blood of the sin offering be on us and on our children. Because that's what Messiah became, the sin offering. Now the people are saying that the blood of the sin offering, let his blood be on us and on our children. Then release Barabbas unto them. So Barabbas plays the part of the scapegoat. And when he had scourged Yeshua, he delivered him to be crucified, offered him up. Then the soldiers of the governor took Yeshua into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Now, I got some thorns. You know what? I should take a picture of these thorns on these bushes outside my house. They're about 2 or 3 inches long. And you can strip the leaves from it and these thorns and weave them into a crown. And trust me, if one of these thorns stick you in your hand anywhere, you in some pain, you in some hurt. Period. They just don't play. I remember I was cutting them and one almost hit me in the eye. And I was like, wow, this was scary. Because I would have lost that eye. And here they weave this branch of thorns into a crown and then take a stick and beat it into his head. That had to be excruciating. I'm talking about some pain that probably would have caused you to faint alone. But this is not over with. And think, the Most High then, I caused this to happen because I'm that mad at you. I'm not mad at him. I'm mad at you. I'm going to make him to be your sin. He's going to represent you and your sin, and this is how I feel about it. So they mock him. They beat him. They put a crown on his head and beat it into his head. Then they take him to scourge him. This scourging was with a whip that had bone and metal in it to your skin. And then they would pull it and rip you open. And he went through that 39 times. or 40. 40 lashes. So his back was torn wide open. Okay? After that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him that compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. That makes you even more thirsty. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, cast lots, and that he might fulfill which was spoken of by the prophets, that they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head accusations written, "This is Yeshua, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. But stop there. Go into a comparison. Now, I want to take this from the New Testament. We're going to take old and new, and we're going to compare. Okay? In the Torah, the high priest on the Day of Atonement, he extended atonement to the nation of Israel. Okay? And the problem with this is that when the scripture says that atonement for the sins of the people. Okay, so let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. The book of Leviticus chapter 16. Now we see Messiah, we see the high priest, we see Barabbas. We see Barabbas let go, like the scapegoat is let go, the one that is chosen by Yah to be for Yah. He dies, he becomes the sin offering. Leviticus 16, verses 15 and 16. In the word of the Most High reads, "Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the bullock, the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgression and all their sins." So if we stop there, you would think that the blood of the sin offering was made for all the people and all their sins. There's only one problem with that. When it says all, there are some people who are not included in the all. So let's talk about this for a second. Okay? Atonement. All of the people's sins were forgiven. Why would anybody, and why would the Most High have people bring sin offerings all through the year for their ignorant sins? If he was on the Day of Atonement, was going to forgive everybody anyway. It doesn't line up. Y'all, you know, whenever you find out you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, and you find out that you shouldn't be doing it, you did it in error, bring a sin offering. Shall be made atonement for. The priest shall make atonement for you, and you and me are okay. But if you willfully sin, you cannot bring a sin offering, and you cannot bring an atonement. The priest can't make an atonement for you. Therefore, if the priest, you can't bring in a sin offering, then on the Day of Atonement, everybody's forgiven. Why have me to bring this sin offering if you're going to forgive all the sin anyway on the Day of Atonement? So the all in those verses is all the people who sin ignorantly. Their ignorant uncleanliness. Uncleanness. And their ignorant transgression. That's what's included in the all. The rest of the people who sin presumptuously, the Most High said, their sin shall remain upon them. They weren't included in the all. And 99.9% of the time, those people who sin presumptuously, and it was proven to be, they were dead. They were killed. And so they wouldn't even be there. If the law and everything was working the way that it was supposed to be, then everybody who sinned presumptuously would have met the penalty of the law, which was death. And the rest of the people who sinned ignorantly, their sins would have been forgiven on the Day of Atonement. So when we read these verses and we don't read them in the context of the law, then we can say, oh, it says all Israel, all their sins. Israel today has taken that stand that on the Day of Atonement, all their sins are forgiven for the previous year. That has never worked with the Most High. And even when we read about Messiah, we got some verses that say otherwise. So when we're looking for atonement today, we got to understand in the context of the law and what all means. All the people who sinned ignorantly, their sins were forgiven. All the people who sinned presumptuously, the Most High said, their sin cannot be forgiven. Their iniquity shall remain upon them. So on the Day of Atonement, all the uncleanliness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgression and all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanliness. Their sin and their uncleanliness was in the tabernacle. If you couldn't bring a sacrifice, your sin was not in the tabernacle and it was not forgiven. Let's look at the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And let's get verses 14 through 16. And then we're going to get Hebrews 9 and some verses out of there. So Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, and he is raised and he ascends into the heavens, he ascends to take the job of the high priest in the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat is at, and the altar. We have such a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua the Son of Elohim. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of infirmity, that don't understand what we've gone through, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted like we were, he's tempted like we are, but he didn't sin. Okay. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. When you come to the throne of grace, then the only time the Most High extends grace is when you are guilty of something, because otherwise he's already said, if you sin ignorantly, I'll forgive you. So I got to do something else if you are guilty of something presumptuously. Now the thing is that we take this grace and we want to extend it for our whole life. Whatever we've done, he's going to forgive it. He's going to atone for it. But that's not what the scripture says. So we're taking bits and pieces of scripture and developing a doctrine and leaving out certain scriptures that say something different, so that we can say that we are forever under grace. And we're forever under the atonement. That's not what it says. Okay, and so we need to, just like in Torah, shall remain upon you. The grace is, I have never forgiven willful sin. Under Messiah, you come to him, you confess what you know. And if you know it, that you've done it, then that was willful sin. Confess it, and I will forgive you. All the stuff you can confess you did in the past, and I will forgive you. Going forward, I don't want you to willfully sin. I want you to walk in the grace I've extended to you. Walk in that grace. I have already forgiven you all your willful sin. I didn't do that in the past. And once you know the truth, I'm not going to forgive you if you do it anymore. The Day of Atonement and misuse it. They have taken the grace of the Most High and misused it. Let's keep on. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. So you're supposed to walk in that grace. Oh, wow, Most High. I know that you don't forgive willful sin. And I came to you and you told me all of my sins were forgiven, my willful ones and my ignorant ones that I didn't know. And when the day that I learned that something I'm doing is sin, I will confess it and I will not do it anymore. I will not do that anymore. And you said you would forgive me, and I will walk in that because I'm not intentionally trying to sin against you. And I'm not going to do something willfully and make an excuse. Oh, Hebrews 9. And let's get verses 11 through 14. But Messiah, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, just like the high priest on the earth. But now he's doing it in the heavens. Entered once into the holy place, having ordained eternal redemption for us. So I'm going to do this at one time. And forever, the law is going to be applied to it. If you recognize me as Muslim, then you will confess your sin, and I will be true and just to forgive you your sins that are past. Past, not future. I'm going to forgive all your willful sins that are past. And then, if you sin after that, something that you don't know, you didn't know it was a sin, and you learn that it's a sin, forgive you. This is the law. This is how it has always worked, and he did not change it except for he said, I'm giving you grace on your willful sin once. Not giving you grace on your willful sin forever or two or three times. Because this is what the church is teaching. But that is not how he works. Messiah is our high priest. He's up in the heavens. He went into the Holy of Holies. He put his blood on the altar, on the mercy seat. And now he intercedes when we sin ignorantly. And for all those who come to him the first time, their willful sin. Father, they have never come to me before. So we're going to forgive their willful sin. We're going to extend grace to them. Now, from this point forward, they can't sin willfully. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to send somebody to teach them and tell them how I forgive sin, and this is how I don't. This is how I have atoned for their sin, and this is what they can bring, and this is what they cannot bring. He didn't change his modus operandi. So for now, we don't have to have a high priest in the earth. And the blood of bulls and goats don't have to be sacrificed every time somebody sins ignorantly. Because remember, if the law is in place, then when somebody brings a sacrifice, sin, they could only bring one and have atonement for the ignorant sin. You got a high priest that lives forever. He has paid the price once and forever. And if you ignorantly sin, and you confess it, it will be forgiven you. But I'm going to extend grace to you one time. All of your willful sin, I'm going to forgive it in Messiah once. Not every day, not every time you do it and you say, I'm sorry. He's not going to use me that way. But this is the way the world has been using him. That's not his way. His way is, if you don't know what you're doing, confess it and we're good. Bring the sacrifice. Come up under the blood of Messiah. If you know what you're doing and you continue to do it, or you did it again after you come to me, we're just going to read what the scriptures say. Not what Brother Miles said, but what the scriptures say. Because the Most High doesn't change. I am Yah, and I change not. So I'm going to extend grace to you. Let's read this. Neither the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling of the unclean sanctified to purify of the flesh, so the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to Elohim, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. Do you think Elohim is going to let you serve him walking in sin and willful sin and willful disobedience? So we're supposed to understand that when we come to Messiah, everything that we did willful, we confess it, he forgives it. That wasn't his nature. Hey, you knew what you were doing? You knew you were disobeying me? Uh-uh. I ain't forgiving that. That was his way. Your sin shall remain upon you. But now I know I got to start with my priesthood, and the rest of the world doesn't know me like that. So my priesthood, I'm going to be the sacrifice for you. I'm going to set you up to where you can give this gospel to the people. You can tell them the truth. This is the way of the living Elohim. You can come to him and you can confess your sin. And you can't confess nothing that you don't know. So whatever you confess, and you know that it was sin while you're confessing it. And he says, now, I will forgive you that one time. I'm going to extend grace to you because in the past, I would not do it. I would not let you make atonement for that. And not even under Messiah am I going to let you make atonement for that after you know, after you understand. I'm not going to let you do it. If you know, then you purge your conscience from dead works. Oh, I know I can't be doing that. I'm not going to do that. And I have the right to go to Messiah because I'm living according to his laws. I'm living according to his word. I'm living according to his standards. I'm not walking around willfully disobeying. If I'm doing something wrong, it's because I don't know that it's wrong. And the day that I find out that it's wrong, I will confess it. And I will turn away from it. And I won't do it anymore. Because I know that it's wrong. So that I can continue to serve the living Elohim with a clear conscience. Because when we know that we deserve death, it's hard for you to serve him up under that. Yeah, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. It's hard to serve from a guilty conscience. Ignorance is bliss, but in this case, it's really not. But you want to serve him in what? Spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. And the truth is the Most High does not forever forgive willful sin. The offering is on the table forever, from generation to generation, from person to person, forever, until he comes back. That's that once and for all. The dual meaning, one time for all people, and one time for all eternity until I've fallen into this. So I'm not going to be up here dying on this cross every time somebody sins. I'm not going to cut myself and shed some blood and pour it at the altar. I did that once. And I'm not doing it forever. In Torah, there had to be a lamb that was sacrificed for the people. Go to Leviticus chapter 16, verses 7 through 10. Leviticus. I'm going to go back and forth. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 7 through 10. And he shall take two goats and present them before Yah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for Yah and the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Yah's lot fell and offer him that goat, the one for Yah, as a sin offering. Into the world to be the sin offering, to be his lamb. I'm choosing my own lamb. And you're going to offer this lamb to me for sin. Go to Hebrews. Go to the book of John chapter 1. Book of John chapter 1 first. Chapter 1, let's get verse 29. John tells them exactly who Messiah is. The next day, John sees Yeshua coming unto him and says, behold, the Lamb of Elohim, the Lamb that Yah chose to be his sin offering, which taketh away the sin of the world. The one that I've chosen, that I've sent into the world, to be my sacrifice. And I made sure, because it had to be the blood of a man. So I made sure that he came into the world without the assistance of a man. No semen, no sex act, no unclean act, that he might be born without sin. And you shall walk without sin. Though he were tempted at every point, yet did he sin not. This person has to meet those requirements because he's going to be my sacrifice to take away the sins of the world, not just Israel, but of the entire world. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And we're going to get verse 10. Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 10. Get 9 and 10. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Elohim. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The first covenant, that he may establish the second. By the which, will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach once and for all. One time for all men. One time for all time. Now, every person on the planet who's ever going to be born has to till Messiah returns. until his duties as the high priest are over. And he's going to come and reign as king on the earth. In the heavens, he's the high priest. The high priest comes to the earth and becomes the king. The king of peace. He's got to bring peace. Oh, I got to bring everything. I got to get rid of everything in the kingdom that offends. And once I get rid of everything in the kingdom that offends, we will have peace. Because everybody will be doing what they're supposed to do. How they're supposed to do it. They will have understanding. So this is what he's doing. This is what he did. I offered up my blood, put it on the Holy of Holies once and for all. Because I'm going to be the Savior of the world. And there is a time set as to how long I'm going to let that go on. To the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That's how long it's going to go on. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Until the gospel of the kingdom is preached to every ethnicity and offered to them. Then the end comes. So while we are working on atonement and staying at one with the Most High, we got to understand how his atonement works. Go to Romans chapter 3. Drop down to verse 26, 27, somewhere in that area. Starting 24. And I've explained to you that grace is the forgiving of willful sin. That's what his grace is. I'm giving you grace because by right I should be killing you. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Yeshua HaMashiach. Believe what he did, and I'm going to extend the grace to you. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a replacement, a payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are through the forbearance of Elohim. I'm going to forbear killing you. I'm going to forbear taking out the law on you, taking out my wrath on you. I'm going to extend my grace to you for your sins that are past. And I'm going to allow you to walk in the newness of life. So imagine this to life in the real world. You get charged by the city or the county or the federal government for a crime. They arraign you. They find that you are guilty. The law has a penalty to it. They say, you know what? Feeling generous today. The law requires that you forfeit your life. We are going to forgive you, extend grace to you one time. Oh, yeah, we know you did it. You can go free. And we won't be coming after you. You are a free person. And all the crime you did, we wiped it out. It is expunged from your record. But take heed, you do it again, we won't forgive you. And you walk out of there a free person, not having to look over your shoulder. If you need to go to the courthouse for something, you ain't got to fear you're going to be arrested. If you get stopped by the police, you ain't got to fear you're going to get arrested. got a clean slate. As though you had never done anything. They pull up, your record comes up, but it's just forgiven. They know, hey, we ain't got no authority to do nothing with this person. And if they're not breaking the law, we can't do nothing with them. Now, they could try to falsely accuse you. I mean, because that's men. But the Most High said, no, I'm not going to falsely accuse you. I'm not going to try to entrap you. I gave you a clear conscience with me. You've already done. I forgave it. Now, let's go back to the man situation. Let's say that they don't try to entrap you. They don't do any of that stuff. They honor the law. It says on your record, forgiven. They know that you were a lawbreaker, but they don't know what you did because it's sealed. They can't see it. Unless you break the law. Here you go and you break the law. Again, after you've been given a clean slate, because you just couldn't stop. They stop you, they open up the record, they put in the charge against you, and the rest of your charges pop up. Oh, wait a minute. You had a death penalty. Forgive you this time. You done went and did it again. This is what the Most High is saying. I forgave you one time. I wiped your slate clean. I didn't want you to go and sin anymore. Now, you did. Okay, let's go back to the human aspect of this. You do something, and they determine that you really did it in ignorance. Oh, yeah, it's against the law to do that, but you didn't know. Now, the law here will tell you ignorance is no excuse. Well, let's just say that they're playing by the rules of the Most High. Because the Most High will say ignorance isn't. You're not willfully trying to disobey me. But let's say that man was working by the laws of the Most High. And so, okay, yeah, we can see that you didn't know you were breaking the law. Did you do it? Yeah, I did it. You sorry you did it? Yeah, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. And I won't do it again. I know it now. I won't do it anymore. All right. Chastisement. Only word that comes to my mind right now. Go on your way. Here's a warning. Go on your way, and no, it won't be on your record. You are forgiven. You can still come to us, do whatever you need to do, file these documents, do whatever. You ain't got to come in fear to us. You ain't got to be afraid we're going to arrest you. Clear conscience. The Most High says, okay, yeah, you do something, and it's done in ignorance. I'll forgive you. I'll make atonement for you. I'll put it up under the blood. I'll put it up under that seal. And you can still approach me boldly because I ain't got nothing against you. You need something? Come and ask. A clear conscience. This is what Messiah gave us because under the bulls and goats, we didn't get a clear conscience. We had to do this once every year. And when we ignorantly, then we had to do a sacrifice right then. And then once a year was forgiven. And we had grace for the next year. Now Messiah says, hey, you come up under me. You believe in what I did. Then as long as you don't sin, you got grace forever. And if you do sin, if it's ignorantly, come and confess it, and you still got your grace forever. You got a clear conscience. You can boldly approach the throne of grace. And I will hear your prayer. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. start in, so first let me get to Hebrews. Hebrews 10. We're going to do verses 26 through 30. Okay. Now, again, let me say, before I read this, I found my own self in this situation. Okay? And the Most High, this is, you know, the Most High showing me. I said, yeah, that's me. Because I was taught a certain way. And yeah, we have to remember this. This is not to take away, not to take away your hope. Because I truly believe that if you come clean to the Most High with your whole heart and true repentance, and you express to him that you truly did not understand the magnitude of what you were doing, and you now understand it clearly, and you're going to walk in that, that he may forgive. But if he chooses not to, he's the Most High. And he will do what he will do. And for me, I will still serve him no matter where that's from. If it's from the lake, if that's where he says, Brother Miles, you know what? Can't play me. And I'm not lowering my standard to accept you. The answer's no. Okay, yeah, I accept your answer. I will still serve you with even more fear now. In anguish, and in anguish, I will serve you. So this is not to take away your hope, but if you find yourself in this situation, if it's you, I will not do it. I understand, and I will not do it. And your will be done. But I will serve you with my whole heart, with everything that I am. This is my desire to be with you. And perhaps you will have mercy. And even if you don't, I will still serve you. This is me. So when I read this to you, understand, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. If I am, I'm pointing one at you and four at me or three at me. But I cannot not tell you the truth. And even on this Day of Atonement, you've got to be asking the Most High for it. If he will extend atonement to you through grace again. But just understand from that in the spirit of in the spirit of truth what you're asking. And be committed to it. For if we sin willfully, impetuously, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. I have told you the truth. I have taught you the truth. This is how the Most High operates. This is how atonement works. I have not hidden anything from you. I have not tried to make you feel good. So it's just, oh, well, Brother Miles is making me feel good. I should just continue listening to him. Truth, no matter what. And if I got to live it for myself, just with me, that's the way it will be. Because I can't save anyone. I don't have a heaven or a hell to place anyone into. But Yah has told me to tell you the truth. What you do with it is up to you. I have told you what I have done. In this I put on my heart to do. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. There's no more atonement for sin if we have the knowledge of the truth and we break it. That's not Brother Miles saying that. That is written. For if we then willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more atonement for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. So when we sin willfully, we make ourselves the Most High adversary. We are adversarial to him, and he's adversarial to us. Back into the law, and a lot of people don't like going into the law. He that died, he that despised Moses' law, died. How? Without mercy. Under two or three witnesses. You found guilty of a willful sin, a presumptuous sin under the law of Moses. You died. And he said, don't have mercy. Kill them. No, you were willfully disobedient. You knew you weren't supposed to do that. You did it anyway. You were presumptuous. I ain't gonna kill me. Just kill them without mercy. How much more sore? How much worse punishment? Suppose you, how much worse punishment do you think? Thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the son of Elohim. What is he saying? You walked on and trampled on the work that Messiah did for your salvation. You despised it. You treated it like Esau as nothing. I came and I died that you might be able to have a clear conscience with the Most High, that all the charges that were on your record would be expunged and wiped out, and then you knew what the penalty was. You knew what I had done, and then you disregarded it. What worse punishment do you think you deserve? Because you deserve a punishment that is worse than the punishment that was given under the law of Moses, which was death. Counted the blood of the covenant, the blood of the new covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy and unclean thing. This is how bad the Most High thinks about this. When people misused Messiah and what he did, who despised what he did, who tried to take advantage of it because they want to stay the way that they are, keep doing the things that they were doing. You know what? I just keep asking for forgiveness. I know what I'm doing is wrong, but he said he'll forgive me if I confess it. That is not the way he works. It's not his modus operandi. It's not how he gives atonement. He says, so, Sire, I forgave you for your willful sin. And I gave you a clean conscience and a clean record. And I made it to where you could approach me boldly, that you could come to me without fear, without guilt, without feeling that you were unworthy. And you spit on it. You treated it as an unclean thing, an unholy thing. And has done spite. Who did you do spite us to? Unto the Spirit of grace. The grace is, I'm going to forgive your willful sin where I never would do that. It is not my way. You intentionally disobey me. I told you your iniquity shall be upon you. You could not bring a sacrifice. I'm going to allow you to bring that mess and put it under Messiah once, not forever. I'm going to let you bring it to him once and for all your past stuff. Because from this point forward, I expect you to walk perfect before me. And if you're not walking perfect before me, it better be in ignorance. Because you just don't know. And the day I send somebody to you to tell you about your ignorance, you better acknowledge it and accept it and confess it. Turn away from it. So I have told you the truth. I am in the same boat. And I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I am telling you the truth. Now you are free on the Day of Atonement. If you find yourself in this situation, go and pour your heart out to the Most High. Beg him for mercy. Beg him to forgive you, to allow the blood of Messiah to atone for your sins, and that you will not walk contrary to him after that. Won't know what his verdict is until you come before the throne. He opens up the book. Brother Miles, on the 10th day of January 2015, you acknowledge this concerning willful sin. And you walk according to my word after that. Acceptable? Or it's not. Yah knows. As for me, I will walk in his ways and I will not willfully sin. Again, anything that I know is sin, I will not do it. If I'm doing something and it's ignorant, then I know that when he shows me, I can confess it. And he is true and just to forgive me. So Father Yah, touch the heart of each and every person listening. Let them examine themselves in the spirit of truth. If it is them, let them say, it is I, Yah, standing in the need of atonement, where I don't deserve atonement. And Father, I pray that you extend grace to me yet once again. Now that I am walking in truth, and I will never, ever, ever willfully transgress and sit on what Messiah has done again. I pray these things in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And let all the people say, amen.
Amen.
Atonement is about. And on the Day of Atonement, we need to bring those things into remembrance. How have we walked before Yah this year? Have we willfully disobeyed because our flesh got weak? Because we got lonely? Because we used to being in somebody's arms or somebody's bed, and it's not, hadn't been that way. Tired of playing games, and so we sought out somebody or we did something that we ought not do. We took something that wasn't ours. We wouldn't pray for somebody that we knew we should pray for. We wouldn't help somebody that we know we ought to have helped. Or we helped somebody that we knew we should not have helped, because we knew that what they were going to do was evil. But we did it anyway. If we have done any such things like that, take them to Yah. Tell them you now understand the severity of your actions. and that you will not make excuses anymore, and that you will walk in his way. And should he say no, he is say no. He has a right to do it. And still commit to serve him with all your might. But you know what people do, what I have found? That people find that if they feel like they have offended the Most High and they don't have a way back to him, they will choose to do anything and everything in this world. Well, I'll go out and just have myself a glorious good time, sleep with as many people as I can, make as much money as I can, see as much of the world as I can, because when this is over, I'm going to the lake. Take that attitude. For me, I want to be with Yah. And I love Yah. And had I known from the beginning, I would have served Yah the way that he wants to be served. But I didn't know. And I had been taught contrary. I had been taught a lie. But now I know, and I can't do anything otherwise. And if Yah says no, it's no. But I'm going to give him my very best. So I'm talking to me. If that rock hits you, then do what you need to do. From all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. For this is our whole duty. Shalom, and we will have the service for this on the 25th. Let me make sure I get this date right. Send out another email for us that the atonement service. I send it out the day that you're supposed to be in observance. With all these different things flying around, we will observe on the evening of the 25th. The 26th is a no work day. So prepare yourself. Examine yourself. Be truthful with you. The scripture says what? Save yourself. I can't save you. I got a big enough problem worrying about me.
I love you.
So save yourself and just be real. And after that, walk perfect before him. As we are able to. He's not telling us to do something we can't do. 99.9% of the time, we don't want to do it. It's something we want to do, and we want to do it so bad, he's going to have to forgive me. Figure out and decide what you want. Do you want the kingdom and to be in the presence of the Most High? Or do you love whatever it is that's trapping you more than you love him? More than you want to be with him? Each person has to make that decision and standing on their own. Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your evening, or the rest of your day. I will see what we will do this evening. I don't know what the topic will be, but it will probably be some more on atonement. Because we want to be right with the Most High. If we're not right with him, nothing else matters. It really does. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your day. Spend some time with the Most High.
can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath. Enjoy the rest of your day. And see you guys in the evening if you have time.
We'll be there.
Peace and blessings.